I will read you some words from Buddha. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world, speak or act with an impure mind, and trouble will follow you as the wheel follows the ox that draws the cart. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. Speak or act with a pure mind, and happiness will follow you as your shadow, unshakable. Look how he abused me, how he beat me, how he threw me down and robbed me. Live with such thoughts, and you live in hate. In this world, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. This is the law, ancient and inexhaustible. You too shall pass away. Knowing this, how can you quarrel? How easily the wind overturns a frail tree. Seek happiness in the senses. Indulge in food and sleep, and you too will be uprooted. But the wind cannot overturn a mountain. Temptations cannot touch the man who is awake, strong, and humble, who masters himself and who mind the law. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? Whoever is a master of his own nature, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. This is very famous discourses of Buddha. And it's many, maybe 20 of this series. But he starts out at the very beginning what is most important. Because if you haven't gone beyond the thinking mind, you cannot follow Buddha on his journey higher. And very, very few people leave this mind. And that's why the Buddha is not understood. Here he is talking to his disciples, the people who is with him, ordinary people doesn't understand, because they are totally identified with the mind, with the ego, with the personality. So he starts out, we are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. That's why it's so important to go deeper than the mind. Because as long as you are in the muddy waters of the mind, you will never see where you are. You will always be caught up. That is the first step. And I was reminded, because look how much is coming up. Just by sitting silently, doing nothing. Look how much you are carrying unnecessary. What does this do to you? Does it give you peace? All these thoughts, all this projection, all this anger, all this frustration, all this fear, all this jealousy, all this competition. You have to investigate to see and question yourself. Is this all I am? Peace is not easy. You have to pay a price for it, and that is that you have to know thyself. You have to go deeper than the mind. Otherwise, you will always be in a mess. You will never see clearly. You will never listen properly. Even if you are listening to a Buddha, you cannot follow him, because everything has to go through your mind. And the Buddha is not talking to your mind. And there's all the possibility that they will be misunderstood. So before you have a glimpse of something that is beyond the mind, you are still very wavering, very caught up. And very few is so dedicated that they go through it. You have to make up your mind to be steady, to be focused, to be total. And who is total in this world? Who is steady? Who is dedicated? And who is humble enough to really look at themselves? The ego likes to be arrogant. It cannot be humble. It cannot be receptive, because it already knows. How can anything go in if you are already full? We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts we make the world. Remember, you are responsible for the world you're living in. And you are so good blaming other people, blaming any situation outside you, blaming anything but you. You forget yourself. And you have to take responsibility over your own world. It's you who is living in your world. Speak or act with an impure mind. And what is an impure mind? An impure mind is one mind that is identified with just the mind, who doesn't see anything else. Buddha, or this translation, talks about impure mind and pure mind. An impure mind is when you are totally identified with your mind, then you cannot see because you don't know anything else than the mind. A pure mind is when you're functioning from beyond the mind. When you are not identified with the mind, then even the mind is perfect like it is, because it's not polluted by you. It works from a deeper source. Then you see things as they are, without your interference, without your projections, without your protections and without your fears. You just see things as they are. That is a pure mind. It's a no mind. You're seeing more from what I call the heart. But not the heart that you know that is so emotional. That is just the deeper side of your mind. The silent heart, the Buddha heart. That is what sees as it is. Speak or act with an impure mind, and trouble will follow you. Trouble will follow you. That's where this karma is coming from. Karma gets created when you do things unconsciously. That is what he means, speak or act with an impure mind. That is unconscious. Because nobody wants to harm themselves or harm anybody else. But we do it all the time because you're unconscious. So you speak or act with an impure mind. Then you create karma for yourself. Then you are making a more mess. If you are acting and speaking from a pure mind, from a deeper place, from your innocence, then you create no karma. Because then you are in tune with the whole. There is no friction. There is no separation. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts we make the world. Speak or act with the pure mind, and happiness will follow you as your shadow, unshakable. So from the very beginning he's spelling out to his disciples how it is. And for this pure mind to happen, then you have to disappear. You have to surrender. It's the only way. You have to let go of this own clinging to you. And that brings the fear. And that's why very few people take that step. And this is the first discourse. So remember how much identified are you with your mind, with your thinking? Because you have to be responsible for how you are, how you feel, how you act, how you speak. Speak or act with the pure mind. That's what I call the heart. Then it's not the mind, it's the heart that speaks. The mind is millions, the heart is one. Speak from the heart and happiness will follow you as your shadow unshakable. That means you are steady. You don't have any more conflict. You have devoted yourself to the heart, to truth. You have surrendered. Then it's no problem. It's unshakable then. It's no chance. Up to that point, there's always a chance that your mind will win. Or you will get so hurt, or you get so angry, or you get so fed up. Look how he abused me and beat me, how he threw me down and robbed me. Live with such thoughts and you live in hate. And that's why everybody lives in hate, because this is how the mind functions. He's always blaming somebody out there. You cannot look at yourself. You want to blame somebody else for whatever situation you are in. Look how he abused me and beat me. Look how he threw me down and robbed me. Live with such thoughts and you live in hate. And how is it to live in hate? Then you get frustrated then. Then you get angry. Then you project more. Then you make more karma for yourself because you project more. You say more unconscious things. You act more. You maybe do also put it into actions because you are so unsteady. That's how people they kill. They following this projection that they have made up themselves. And it can so be so bad that they kill themselves or kill somebody else. Only love dispels hate. In this world, hate never dispelled hate. Remember, we have been here a long time on this planet. But hate never yet dispelled hate. It doesn't work like that. You will never win with hate. With anger, with your frustration, you will never win because it means that you are out of tune with the whole. The whole won't change, you have to change. The whole won't transform, you have to transform. The whole doesn't need to wake up, you have to wake up. That's how it is, excuse me. In this world, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. This is the law, ancient and inexhaustible. This is how it is. But who wants to follow love? No ego wants to follow love. Me? But this is the law. You will never win. So instead of relaxing, you keep yourself tight. You keep all your ideas, you keep your fighting. Instead of relaxing, the peace is available. And this fight goes on till some miracle happens. That you start seeing and accepting the truth as it is. Then relaxation comes as a shadow because you allow yourself to let go. In this world, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. This is the law, ancient and inexhaustible. It's always been like that, and it will always be like that, and it's inexhaustible. And the miracle is, it doesn't matter how long this hate has been, as soon as the sun of love comes, just one ray, then the hate is gone, the darkness is gone. Doesn't matter how old this darkness is. When the sun comes, the darkness disappears. It's effortless. You don't need to do anything with the darkness as such. You just have to face the sun. You have to go where the sun is. Don't go in the shadowlands. There is always the opposite. In this universe, is always the opposites. It's darkness and light. Positive and negative. Life and death. You have the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain. You have the higher, you have the lower. And if you become conscious, then you have the opportunity. Only human beings have this, to start directing your energy, what you want to follow. You too shall pass away. Knowing this, how can you quarrel? How can you fight? How stupid are you? You are also going to die. What are you wasting your time for? And people go on fighting the whole life. And that's what I wanted to remind you, because even here, this old habit of arrogance, of fighting, of hatred, it's in you, you have to face it. How long are you going to run in the shadowlands? The Buddha's imitation, why don't you come in to the light? See things how it is. How easily the wind overturns a frail tree. Seek happiness in the senses, indulge in food and sleep, and you too will be uprooted. You too will be lost if that is all what you need to seek happiness in the senses. If you know only the body and think that is going to satisfy you, that means you only see the physical. You never go higher, you never go deeper. Everything, your whole life energy just going around like a merry-go-round in the senses, in the mind. Thinking, dreaming, projecting. When will you get off? You will never find peace only in the body, only in the senses. Indulge in food and sleep. And this is how it is in the world. They just know it's never been like that before. Only the old Romans that stuffed themselves and then they put the feather down their throat and then they threw up and then they could eat more. That was the highest joy in life, to stuff themselves like pigs. That was just the upper class in Rome. Because the money is there, but the consciousness is not there. So all you can do is indulge in the senses. Indulge in food, indulge in sex, indulge in money, indulge in power, indulge in beauty. Anything. And you are desperate because it doesn't give you what you are after. You have to go deeper. And then you get angry, then you get frustrated. you try and try and try. I know more and more people get more and more frustrated because it never delivers the goods. You are just swimming on the surface. How easily the wind overturns the frail tree. And everybody is just the frail. Everybody looks that they know and they talk and they are so proud, but you are just, you have no roots. Just a little wind of truth and you're gone. You have to become steady. Seek happiness in the senses, indulge in food and sleep, and you too will be uprooted. And when you're uprooted, what happens then? Your very roots just dies. You're finished. You have wasted your life. You're uprooted. You didn't go deep. You didn't go deep where the water is, the water of life, the real juice. That is in the depth. And that only comes with understanding, with relaxation, with trust, with love, with peace, with consciousness. Then you become strong. Maybe in this world, very weak. Maybe in this world, crucified. But very strong in spirit, very strong in the heart, unshakable. The wind cannot overturn a mountain. Temptation cannot touch the man who is awake, strong, and humble, who masters himself and minds the law. It's impossible that the wind overturns a mountain. And temptation cannot touch the man who is awake, strong, and humble. Otherwise, temptation, greed, dreams, it overturns any man. You are so weak. Any wind that comes and you are gone. You're not steady, you don't have any roots. What to say about the mountain? You become unshakable because you have gone deeper. You have gone deeper into your heart, your soul. You are not living on the surface. And no temptation can touch the man who is awake. Because you have found something that is so much more beautiful than anything this material world can give you. You are safe. Temptation cannot touch the man who is awake, strong, and humble. Strong and humble. Like Jesus says, strong in spirit. That's the strength. And humble. Huh? All man, real man, wants to be strong. Who wants to be humble? No. Not so good if you're really a marble old man. You have to be a strong man. A tough man. Then strong is okay, but humble? Let me think about it. And Buddha says, strong and humble, but it's a different strength. You are the most strong, most powerful, but also the most fragile. Like Buddha also said, a rock can easily crush a flower. Remember it, a rock can easily crush the flower. The flower is much more sensitive, much more vulnerable. You are like a rock, you can easily crush a Buddha. But the spirit is much more strong. But that you cannot see. You cannot see if you have not also touched that spirit in you. And the more you have touched it, the more you will recognize it. And the more you will be in tune. And the more peace, the more bliss. That's why Buddha goes on saying, listen, and listen well. Because he knows if you fall in tune, then it's already done then. Then you are in tune. Then everything disappears. Everything is easy when you are in tune with the Buddha. You regain your own true eyes, your own clarity, your own heart. You fall in tune with another heart. That is the easiest way. But that can only happen when the mind is gone. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? And all thoughts are muddy if you are still identified with the mind. Even if it comes clear, thoughts, you don't really know because you can't really trust yourself. You are still not sure. This is a period where you are in the limbo. The old is going, but the new hasn't come yet. You don't know if you're going to trust the new. The old is much more strong, that you know. The new you don't know. And that's where trust comes in. Listening, feeling. Because the past is very solid. It pulls you like a magnet. The future, you have no idea. And still people having so much problems with the past, which is finished. At least focused on the future, the unknown. That is open, like an open sky. The past is finished. Why have any problems with the past? And you have so much problem with the past, with your thoughts, with this and that. Look at the stupidity of it. Life is happening now. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? Buddha is reminding his disciple, because it's the same situation there as here, as everywhere, when people are trying to wake up. But of course, now it's much more muddy, because you are much more identified. Then, 2,500 years ago, the world was very, very simple. Everywhere was like Dharma Mountain. Very peaceful. And horses and bullock carts and walking. No advertisement, no Coca-Cola, no internet, no TV, no nothing, no makeup, no silicone, no nothing to worry about. Everybody could relax, just as they were. And still it was difficult. Still Buddha is reminding what to say about now. You understand my headache? Be a little compassionate with the Buddha, Jesus. Give me joy. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, and everybody is reckless, you're doing something and then, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You say something, oh my God, I was so stupid, that was so stupid of me, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Why the fuck did you do it then? Because you were asleep. You don't know, you yourself don't know what you are doing. Then who knows what is happening here? You are not responsible. You have no idea what it means to be responsible. You only know these piddly responsibilities that you think is everything. You don't know higher responsibilities. The heart, the truth has totally different laws than the mind. In fact, all these responsibilities, all these things that you thought you had to do, is just hindering you on a different level. And Buddha, when he was reminding people, then he got into a lot of trouble. They all do, they have a lot of trouble. Because people can't stand the truth. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? And Buddha's disciples, they were wearing the yellow robe. So he said, how can you become a disciple? How can you follow the Buddha? How can you follow your master if you're still get so entangled with the mind, if you're still following your mind, if you still are reckless, if you're not on guard, if you're not a little aware what you are doing, how you speak, how you think, how you act. How can you wear the yellow robe? You are not ready. Look at yourself. Are you really up to this? Otherwise, no, he didn't say go to the movies, but I was. Go to the movies. Maybe he would say go to the. Fuck yourself. You think he will say that? Okay. Baba, behave now. But the Buddha only speaks the truth. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? He is reminding them, this is the beginning. You have to break free. Are you really up to this? Otherwise, don't waste your time and don't waste my time. If you still are going in this split, wavering, not steady, if you haven't decided, then maybe not. Maybe you should take off your yellow robe and go home to your village. Whoever is a master of his own nature, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. Whoever is a master of his own nature. And you become a master of your own nature, when you fall in tune with nature, with existence. There is only one master, there is only one nature, there is only one existence. There is only one consciousness. Then everything falls into place. Then you don't have to have this struggle, these conflicts. Whoever is a master of his own nature, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. If this is really what, then fine. Then you are dedicated. That's what I say. Who is total? Who has this totality to really dive in? Not holding back. Then it's very easy. Then we can do anything. We can sit in silence. We can love. We can dance. We can do anything. It's effortless. Because you're in tune. You have let go. Otherwise, always this thinking. Whoever is a master of his own nature, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. It's like we talked about the other day. We'd be asked, no? About she had this experience where everything just stopped and everything was just present, and as it always is, she disappeared from all. Over and her husband and child died in a car crash. Then you get this shock, you wake up, because all these problems, so, oh, I forgot to buy milk and now I have to suffer. All these little things goes. The mind get this shock. The whole system get this shock. That is one way. And most people, even when they get an insight like that, they are not prepared. So it disappears again. It becomes a memory. But the same thing can happen in an organic way, in a very, what I will call, the most natural way. And that is love, where you just relax. Then also everything just stops. In that presence, if you really fall in tune, then time just stops. You're just totally present. No mind, no thinking. Just clarity, just consciousness, just peace, just gratefulness, just love. That is the sign. That is the other way. Either it can come like a shock, like brutal, like a hammer on the head, or it can come like a flower opening. If you accept it, if your consciousness, if your heart, if your whole being accept it, then it can flower. That is the art of the Buddhas. But it has to come from your own understanding, your own seeing, that you are ready to drop all that which is keeping you a prisoner. Whoever is a master of his own nature, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. That is a true sannyasin, a true disciple. That is steady. Then you deal with whatever comes up without any projections. You have the full responsibility. We are what we think. That's why I go on saying, don't think. Try it. Just relax. Don't think. No. Where is the thinking?